It is said that some of these towers at a height of 9 meters, and that it was a huge fortress and thousands of people lived around it. Now, they tried to explain it away, and they said that the walls of this town became too heavy and they collapsed into a 12-meter deep cavern and it fell down. But the Quran tells us how the town literally, that the earth swallowed it up, that it was literally taken down into the earth. The Americans want to say, no, it was built on a weak limestone cavern and it fell in. But the Quran tells us what happened to the people. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. That the punishment came to them. But this is a very interesting study. And we are finding now that the stories that are coming in the Quran, this is not myth. These are not fantasy stories. This is real live history, which was played out. And which is now coming to the surface, even hundreds of years after the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And so the perishing Arabs are the first group, and these groups have, for the most part, perished. The second group is Al-Arab Al-Aribah, and they are the children of Ya'rub ibn Yashub ibn Qahtan, Qahtaniyun. And they are the pure Arabs. And most of the linguists and historians believe that they came from the southern part of Arabia, which is Yemen. And that Yemen is actually the birthplace of the Arabic language. And up until today, and different people who speak Arabic will argue with you, but up until today, it is the Bedouins, the mountain people in Yemen, who are speaking a pure dialect of Arabic. Without grammar books, without going to school, the common language that they are speaking in the mountains of Yemen and some of the Sahara is a pure form of Arabic. The only problem is for us is they speak too fast. So you have to adjust your ears to the speed. But if you can catch their speed, then you realize that they are speaking a very high grammatical Arabic. And from amongst these Qahtaniyun, there were two famous tribes, Himyar and Kahlan. These are two well-known tribes. And from the tribes of Himyar, you find in the area of Sana'a, the present-day northern Yemen, and then going a little bit south, you will find there were great empires like the Empire of Saba, that is known as Sheba. And so in this empire, they were able to subjugate water. They built the dam of Ma'rib, and the water was coming from the mountains. They were able to control this water, and they had one of the most powerful, well-known civilizations in the world at the time was right there in Yemen. Coffee comes from Yemen. Mocha comes from Yemen. Some people argue Ethiopia. But it went to the world out of Yemen itself. And so this is a very important part of the world, and we will see how important the people of Yemen are, even up until today. If you look at the Kaaba itself, there is a Yemeni corner. That is how important the people of Yemen are to the history of Islam. In the northeast corner of the Arabian Peninsula is Al-Hira. And you will find a number of the tribes of Lakham and a number of those tribes in Hira. In the middle of Arabia, you can see on your old maps, there is what is called Nejd. And the Nejd are the Bedou living in Sahra in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula. For amongst the Nejdis is Banu Tamim, Hawazin, Tayy, Thaqif, Banu Hanifa, and a number of tribes, and you will see them playing themselves out within the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they are fierce Bedouin tribes in the middle parts of Arabia, and it's part of the reason why Imam Shafi said, make dua qunut al-fajr every day, because of what happened with these tribes in the middle of Arabian Peninsula when the duat were sent out and they were being killed. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make dua qunut in despair against what was happening in the central part of the Arabian Peninsula. In the southeast side of Arabia is Oman. Going to the south central side is Hadramaut, where you find Banu Kinda. And you will find in the area of Hadramaut that the people were famous for frankincense, which is a syrupy substance coming out of trees, which when it is hardened, you can chew it luban as gum. Probably the world's first bubble gum. Also, it can be used as incense. And so this frankincense and myrrh and the spices coming out of Hadramaut were being used by the Roman Empire, by the Greeks, by the Egyptians, all the way to China. Everybody wanted this because when you burn it in your room, it cleans the atmosphere and it sets sort of a spiritual stage. So in religions all around the world, people were using these spices. And so the trade route would travel to the southern part of Arabia from Hadramaut and Oman to Yemen, and then it would go north up into Syria. And this is where you'll see later in Surah Al-Quraysh, رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. These are the journeys that were happening in the summer and the winter. They would go in the summertime up north to Syria, and they would get the different items, and then they would come south in the colder season, what would be cold up in the north. And so the second group is Al-Arab Al-Ariba. The third group is Al-Arab Al-Musta'riba. And this group are the Arabized Arabs. And they are basically the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. And we know the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and it's so important for us, especially in the time of Hajj. And we often speak about this story, that Ibrahim alayhi salam came out of Ur. He came from the Tigris-Euphrates region, on the west bank of the Euphrates. And he traveled around into Syria, and then down into Palestine, and into Egypt. And when he reached Egypt, the rulers of Egypt were so aggressive and so cruel that if they found a man who had a beautiful wife, if they knew that that woman was his wife, they would rape her and destroy his honor. But if the woman was his sister or his mother, then this wasn't a conquest for them. The wife was the conquest. And so when Ibrahim alayhi salam came into Egypt and they saw Sarah, they wanted to do an evil act with her, and Ibrahim gave them Tawriyah, and this is a pious deception. And they said, "Who is this?" And he said, "It's my sister." Okay, meaning his sister in Islam, right? Was his wife. But he said, "She's my sister," which she was. And so they let her go. Later on, through his character and the character of his wife, the leaders, the rulers at that time of Egypt were impressed by him. And they gave Sarah a servant woman named Hajar. Now, according to Al-Rahik al-Makhtum and some of the historians, she was actually from the royal family of Egypt, from the royal family of the Fara'ina, of the pharaohs. And but she was given as a servant to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Some historians even say that the rulers of Egypt at the time were Amalika, who were Assyrians. They had conquered Egypt. They were originally from Iraq, same places as Ibrahim. So they were impressed by Ibrahim and they gave him somebody from an Egyptian family. They were Iraqis themselves. And they gave him an Egyptian princess, take her as your servant. So there's a number of stories about this. In any event, what is important to us, which is so well known in our community, is that Sarah, may Allah be pleased with her, could not have children. And she allowed Ibrahim alayhi salam to take Hajar as a wife. And Hajar, later on when they left and went to Philistine, she gave birth to Ismail alayhi salam. Later on, for reasons that some historians say was the jealousy of Sarah, may Allah be pleased with her, Ibrahim left with Hajar and they went down into a desolate valley known as Bekka. Bekka. And the Quran still says Bekka tal Mubarakah. Later on, through language, Bekka became Mecca, because the Ba and the Meem are letters that are very close. The Makhraj is very close. So it became known as Mecca. And it was in this desolate valley, as you so well know, that Ibrahim alayhi salam left his family. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his wife Hajar, may Allah be pleased with her, ran in between Safa and Marwa 7 times. And then with the help of the angel, the boy digging in the ground, water came, Zamzam. And they drank from the Zamzam. And one of the tribes that came from the south of the Qahtaniyin, remember, Al-Arab, Al-Ariba, the pure Arabs, one of the tribes known as Jurhum, came into the area of Mecca, and eventually they were so impressed by Ismail that they married him to one of their daughters. And so it is the coming together now in the family of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, that you see people from Iraq who are speaking a Semitic type of dialect, not Arabic. Then you see Hajar, who's an Egyptian, she's an African. And then you see a pure Arab from the Jurhum tribe. Ismail learns to speak Arabic, so they are Arabicized Arabs. They're not originally Arabic speaking. They have Iraqi blood, they have Egyptian blood, and they have the blood of the pure Arabs, which makes up that last category. And so later on, after the death of Hajar, radiallahu anha, rahimahullah, Ibrahim and Ismail, may Allah be pleased with them, built the Kaaba. Ibrahim alayhi salam called the people to come on foot and on any type of animal to do Hajj or pilgrimage to this house. Later on, Ismail had 12 sons. And it is from his family that spread around that you find the tribes of Quraysh, and you find the Aus and the Khazraj. You'll find many different people coming from the tribes of Ismail, alayhi salam, this final form of Arab. What is important for us, the Shahid here, which is so important for us in this early phase, Ibrahim alayhi salam built on the foundations of the Kaaba that were already there. It is said that other prophets had been in this area. Ibrahim and Ismail built on the foundations. They established the Kaaba. And Allah tells us in Surah Ali Imran, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Nazarene. See the Nasara? He was neither a Jew nor a Nazarene or Christian, but he was upright and he was a Muslim and he was not from the polytheists. And so when we speak of Muslim, when we speak of Islam, and it's so important to keep this in your mind, especially when we are talking to non-Muslims, that we are talking about the religion of all the prophets. The Prophet Ibrahim is a prophet of Islam. The Prophet Musa alayhi salam is a prophet of Islam. Isa alayhi salam is a prophet of Islam. All of the messengers who came to Ad and Thamud, Mada'in Salih, and to all of the peoples of the world who taught the belief in one God, they are all mighty messengers of Allah, and they are part of the Islamic message. And we relate to them as one brotherhood. The only difference, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said in authentic hadith, that the prophets are like a beautiful house, but there's one brick left. There's one space left for a brick. I am that brick. And with me is the seal of the prophets and the messengers. And so we need to now take it a step further in our next discussion, inshallah, to look deeper now into the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was going on in Hijaz? What was going on amongst the Arabs? What are some of the names that we hear, Umayyah and Hashim, and some of the names of the different tribes which had such an influence on the message of Islam? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and strength to study this, and may Allah help us to be as Ibrahim alayhi salam, hanifan muslima, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفُرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ